It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, indeed. We're live here at the Minnesota State Fair. Mary Myers with me and Sam Bauer. It's hard to believe. We haven't seen Sam for quite some time.
It has been a while.
From the University of Minnesota. These guys are from there helping us out all the time. So really, if you have a lawn or garden question, we got the brain power here.
We hope we have the answer.
So anybody here at the State Fair, if you have a lawn or garden question, come on up to the railing. We'll get you a microphone. Otherwise, give us a call or send us a text. The phone number is 651-989-9226. Text number is 81807. Now, you guys both know that if people hesitate in calling us or text us and they wait for about another 20 minutes, we get backlog and we don't get a chance to answer the question. So don't wait is what I'm saying. Call us at 651-989-9226 or, again, send us a text, 81807. Mary, I was telling Sam earlier that I was doing the last couple of weeks some work in the yard. And I didn't tell Sam this, but I cleared up some bald spots, not on me, but on the yard.
On your
lawn? And and a special kind of dirt, some soil, some seed. But again, I wanted to ask you, there's a relatively shady spot down by the storage shed that I can grow some grass, but maybe I'm not using the right kind. What kind of grass seed will tolerate shade?
Yeah, so there are a lot of these what we call dense shade mixtures on the marketplace.
Oh, yeah.
You want to just be very thoughtful of kind of what you're looking for there. Some don't necessarily contain dense shade grass. You know?
Really?
Yeah, so when we're looking for shade grasses, we're looking mostly for fescues. Two options there would be fine fescues, which are, you know, much finer texture and really low maintenance and slow growing. And then tall fescue is another really good option as well for shade.
Okay.
Yeah. Kentucky bluegrass and perennial ryegrass, which are kind of our standard grasses for Minnesota lawns, do not do very well in the shade.
You need some good sun for those.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to be on the label. The law requires the contents have to be on the label. So you might not see it on the front, but if you look on the back, it's listed there. And the percent of fine fescue, it's all listed there by the law. So
that's right.
Well,
you can
easily see it.
What Mary and I were talking about earlier, Sam was coming up to the stage here. Sam has been really busy at the Hort Building with what kind of a display, and what are you guys, not preaching, but you have a mission.
Sure. So we have a collaboration with the Metropolitan Council, actually, and our goal is just to educate about home water use, lawn irrigation more specifically.
Sure.
So we have a display in the Horticulture Building. Love to have anybody stop by. And what we have there is smart irrigation controllers that will monitor the weather. You can operate them from your smartphone. So very valuable as far as reducing the amount of water that we're putting on some of our lawns.
Do we water too much? Is that what you're saying?
Well, look at the rainfall we've had.
Yeah, a lot of rain.
I think we're at about 7 inches for August, you know, and usually we say a lawn would need about an inch a week, so we're well above that.
All right.
Yeah, so we just encourage people to think about their irrigation systems. Mm-hmm. And rather than turn it off and on in the spring and off in the fall, really monitor it and have the equipment so that it regulates the amount of water.
Yeah, I think your lawn would thank you for it, and you'd probably save quite a bit of money as well.
And you and I have talked, too, and Mary has addressed this, that people are who mow their lawns. Some use bags, some don't. But if there's a chance to let those clippings just drop, let's say you fertilized 2-3 weeks ago, you mowed. You say what? If you just leave those clippings in the yard, is it like fertilizing again, isn't it?
Well, grass clippings are about 3.5% nitrogen. So it's kind of a, you know, 3% nitrogen fertilizer there. Yeah, we usually say you can reduce your annual fertilizer requirement by one application if you just return your clippings to your lawn.
How about that?
Yeah.
Something to do during the Labor Day, I have a feeling that's coming
that's
up.
That's right.
651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones. Pat in Maple Grove is first up here. Pat, you're on CCO on the Garden Show, brought to us by our friends at Buy the Yard Patio Furniture. Go ahead, Pat.
Hi. Years ago, my husband and I had put down some decorative rock, and now I'm getting onion grass. Somebody told me that it's coming up through the rocks. If I spray it with, like, some kind of a killer, even though I can't get to the root, will that kill it?
Yes, you can use one of the products like Roundup, which kills everything that it hits, and that definitely will kill that. So you have to be pretty careful about what you use, because the broadleaf weed killers for lawns will not necessarily kill that onion grass. It's a monocot. It's more like a grass. So use something that will, it's a total kill weed killer, and that will take care of it. If you could try hand weeding, but that might be more difficult, and it's got a little bulb on it if it is onion grass, so that's harder to get that out.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat. Pat leaves that line open at 651-989-9226. If you're just joining us, we're live here at the Minnesota State Fair. Mary Meyer, Sam Bauer in from the University of Minnesota was telling you guys that great website. I learned so much from the U of M Extension website. There's so many things. You could spend hours just, you know, learning things.
Actually, some people have told us we have too much stuff on
too
the
much
website.
Information.
We have too many pages. But yes, it's extension.umn.edu.
It really is great information. And we get calls, as you know, about certain critters, certain bugs, too.
Oh.
And I know you've got descriptions of maybe plant diseases, too, but you can even look up critters, too, can't
yeah,
you?
We have some tools on there. One is called What Insect Is This?
Yeah.
And you can search and look for controls of any insects, even indoor insects, you know, and certainly outdoor pests as well. And we have that on plant diseases and weeds also. So some nice tools on there that
yeah.
a lot of our educators have worked really hard at.
Yeah,
right.
We always like to give that website a few times during the show. Again, 651-989-9226. I tell you what, before we break, let's go to Janet, who's calling from Maplewood, Minnesota, with a question. Go ahead, Janet. Thank you.
Yes, I have some green moss showing on the top of my soil by my plants. What is it, and how do I get rid of it?
Well, yeah, so this would be in a garden, I would assume.
Right.
Yeah, so moss is usually just, you know, an indication of excessively moist situations, oftentimes some shade and maybe some soil compaction. You know, I usually don't recommend products to control moss because it's very shallow rooted. You can just pull it up with a rake and remove it there, and then to prevent it from coming back would be either mulching that area or planting some other type of ground cover.
Right. The best thing is if you can remove it, because the spores will, if you don't remove all of it, it'll regrow on its own. So try to remove it if that's practical.
And there are some iron-based products that do have some control if it keeps coming back on you.
I was looking at the text screen, too, while you were giving that reply, and we have, of course, about 100 texts already. Hi, please ask Mary why leaves are turning. It seems pretty early.
It does seem early. Some plants have a tendency to have early fall color. We see that now on the autumn blaze maple coloring up. Sometimes it's an indication of a plant that's not as healthy if that has early fall color, but it might simply be fine. More a little premature is not too much of a problem if the plant is healthy otherwise.
Okay.
But it's getting to be fall
it
now.
Is.
It is September.
That's hard to believe.
September.
That's
it
hard
is
to
hard.
Believe.
Right.
Tell you what, let's take a break here. We have more show to come. Anybody here at the fair, if you have a lawn or garden question, we'll field us for you. Or give us a call. I see one line is open at 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. Back from the fair.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And here we are broadcasting live, like the guy said, from the Minnesota State Fair. Cloudy now. We hope to see the sun a little bit later on this afternoon, which will keep things growing nicely. This September, it's the second day of September already?
Wow.
Sam Bauer and Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota are helping us out here at the fair like they do every year. It didn't seem like a whole year has gone by, but it certainly has. And things haven't changed. We have a lot of callers and many texters as well. So let's get back to the phones. Let's see who's been waiting. Larry is calling from Faribault, Minnesota. Go ahead, Larry. You are on CCO live from the fair. Larry? Hello, Larry. Well, I don't know. Is Janet there? Live radio. Is anybody there?
I'm here, yes. Denny.
Janet's
here too.
Sam's
oh, wait,
here.
I hear somebody.
Okay. Whoever you are, come in, please.
Janet is here.
There's Janet. Okay. Thank you, Janet, for saving me. How can we help you?
I am calling to find out, is it better to do planting of shrubs and perennials in the fall? Is it too late, or should we wait until spring?
Well, you've got about another 2 weeks, maybe, Janet, to do this. So we like to have a month in the fall for root establishment. So between now, do we have a month left? Well, I hope so. But it's getting close to the end. So definitely at the 1st of October, it's too late. So,
okay.
So do it now.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Sure.
Love your show.
My high-tech ability here, I just realized that the computer is reconnecting. So in the meantime, we have to song and dance here for a while. But you know what I think I will do, because we have many. I tell you what, there we go. We just got reconnected. Isn't it amazing? Let's see if Cindy in Watertown is with us. Cindy, are you there? There's Cindy.
I am here.
Good.
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
We certainly can. What is your question, please?
My question is, we have a area in our lower yard that we had cleaned up, and we now have squash. It's kind of an awkward area, squash and viney things. We want to take that out and put that more into a wildflower garden, or some grasses, like a wildlife natural cover. And my question is, how do you even go about that with all the weed seeds in there? Do you do it in the fall? Do you do it in the spring?
So I would do it in the spring, and I would section off the area. If it's very large, it might be too much to do at once. So I'd section it off like a third or a quarter at a time. I would mow it or get rid of the top growth of the weeds. I would put in plants, and I'd put in a mulch so that you cover up the area that where the other weed seeds could come.
And if it's a smaller area, it might be fairly practical to even kill some of the vegetation with just a plastic sheet. You could, you know, take a large square plastic sheet and dig the edges of that into the ground. And that, you know, if you leave that on there for 4 to 6 weeks, would kill most of the vegetation and even some of the weed seeds in the soil.
Mm. Yes.
We call that solarization. So,
right. So just with the heat and the plastic on it, that will kill it.
Yep.
Right.
Okay. Could you do that in the fall? Could you, like, till it in the fall and then put plastic down and leave the snow come and then... in the spring seed?
Well, it's not as good because the winter is too cold. The solar is really the heat in the summertime that does that killing. So, no, I don't think you'll be. I think you'd have to start all over again.
Right.
In
spring. Yeah.
Okay. So, just get rid of the weeds in the fall, and then in the spring put plastic over and cover it, and then for about 6 weeks, and then seed and mulch.
Yeah, just keep in mind, the longer you have bare soil there with nothing
right.
planted into it, the more weeds are going to come in. So the sooner you right. can time the removal of that plastic with your planting and mulching, you know, you're going to be much better.
Much more effective.
Yeah.
The one thing you could do this fall is cut off any seed heads. Any of the weeds or
right.
things that are there that are going to seed, you can remove those seed heads, because that's going to be just contribute to your problem next year.
Right, and we'll do that, but you know, we're in the country, so you've got all your thistles and you've got all of that coming
right.
in from the,
yeah,
that you can't help.
Right, but you could see, you can still do this. I would just say to do it in sections at a time that you can manage and take care of it.
Okay, so then as those seeds come up, just go in and pull out your thistles and whatever you can know for sure that are weeds. And
well, if you're planting grasses, you really don't have much of an option to put pre-emergence down, like a preen, which would be trifluralin. But if you're using
right.
some type of plants, you could use pre-emergence, and that would, you know, prevent other weed seeds from coming in.
Yeah.
So that's a
right.
good option if you're using yeah. some type of space plantings.
Okay, well, I'm thinking, you know, our area is probably 30 by 50 feet.
Uh-huh. Oh,
so I'm thinking
okay.
more seeds. You know, we're going to have to do seeds of some sort.
Okay, then that might take the pre-emergence out of the
situation.
Yeah.
All right, Cindy. Well, good luck
okay.
with all of that.
Okay.
A labor of love, sure. Text number is 81807, and here's one for Sam, I think, Murray. How late can I still put down sod this fall?
You know, sod you can do quite a bit later than seed. I think in most falls, you'd be safe up till about October 1st or so. You know, last fall, it was really warm until the end of November, I think, even, you know. But, yeah, usually I would say about October 1st. Just be sure to water it really well. You want to try to get some of those roots established before winter. For seed, we would say about mid-September would kind of be your last date for seeding. If you get much past that, chances are it's not going to establish very well before winter.
And this is, like you said it again, in fact, I was telling you off air, I was doing the same thing myself, is preparing the lawn and seeding, getting that, you know, the seed, you just can't toss the seed in your grass. It's got to have that contact, doesn't it?
Right, yeah, you want to rake the seed into the soil and then be sure to keep it moist as well. And it depends a lot on the grass seed you use, but for example, the fescues, they germinate and establish pretty quick. So you're watering them daily for the first week. For bluegrass, it's quite a bit longer to water that.
All right, I tell you what, let's take our bottom of the hour break. We have another half hour of the show to go. I see one line is open at 651-989-9226. Messages at 81807. And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show, Lawn and Garden Talk, every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This time we are at the Minnesota State Fair. With us, Mary Meyer and Sam Bauer from the University of Minnesota. A lot of great help today, as we always do. We appreciate you guys helping our CCO listeners out every week. You've done how many years are we doing this now, you guys?
Oh, my gosh.
It's been four at least. Maybe
four or five.
Maybe we're on our fifth
it's
year.
It's a lot of fun for us. We enjoy it. We get to know what the problems are, what people are asking
kind
about.
Kind of keeps you on your toes, too, right?
You bet. Yeah, I think your gardening knowledge, Denny, is doing pretty well.
You guys help me fake it. That's what happens. 651-989-9226 is our phone number. Text is 81807. We have plenty of both, so let's get back to it. Who's been waiting? Ron is calling from St. Bonnie, I think. Ron, thank you for waiting. What is your question, please?
I have a twofold question, actually. I have a two-foot area in my lawn. It looks to be growing Bermuda grass right now. I don't know where it came from. It's kind of a fine, short-leaf grass that's viney and it's crawling. Don't know what I should do to kill it off and get back to my regular grass. Also, I have black-eyed Susans I would like to transplant and wondering if I should cut the heads off before to make it a little more survivable.
Yes, you definitely can. You can cut the black-eyed Susan about to half of the growth that you've got there when you transplant that. Those are pretty easy to transplant, the black-eyed Susan, so you could do that right now. Get as much soil as possible.
Regarding the Bermuda grass, chances are it isn't Bermuda grass. That's a warm-season grass. I really don't see it much in Minnesota lawns here.
Probably bent.
So, yeah, probably creeping bent grass would be my suspicion. That's a grass that has stolen, so it kind of creeps across the ground just like creeping Charlie would. Very fine textured grass. Looks just fantastic on golf course putting greens and fairways, you know, under a half of an inch, but certainly can be a weed in home lawns. Bermuda grass really wouldn't green up until about the 1st of June, and then it would start turning off color in mid-September or so. But yeah, bent grass is my suspicion
there. It can look patchy too, so you can really see the difference in that with Kentucky bluegrass.
Yeah. And we do have some information on our website, which is extension.umn.edu, that has some pictures of the bent grass on there. If it is creeping bent grass, there's a product that would be successful to control. It's called Mesotrione. Sold under the trade name of Tenacity.
All right, very good. Let's
see
who's...
That's why we have Sam on here. He keeps up with the chemicals.
He's their
our
turf guru, right?
Right.
Our turf guru.
Right.
Speaking of turf, I wanted to ask you, Sam, we talk about the lawn aeration. Do you need to do that, or should you do it once a year? Do you need to do it that often?
Yeah, the answer is kind of it depends. So if you're
compact soil?
Yeah, if you're really compacted soil, you know, quite frankly, you really can't aerate that enough. You know, I would do maybe a spring and fall. If you're a really sandy soil, you maybe only need to aerate once every 3 to 5 years. Mm-hmm. But I do think that aeration is really underutilized in Minnesota. A great practice, really helps with root growth and helps with some moisture infiltration as well. So more rainfall and more irrigation would stay on your property.
I hadn't had it done for years, and I rented one myself. It kind of was like a running away with a bull. I'm not used to that, but it made a difference in the lawn. It's amazing how much greener and richer it was.
Right. You want to get the aerator that throws the plugs up out of the soil.
Yeah.
Not just you.
Right.
All right, let's see. Who's next? Yvonne is calling from Osceola, Wisconsin, with a question for us. Go ahead, Yvonne.
Hi. We are planning on moving between now and the end of the year. Can I dig up a hosta plant and a hot lip salvia plant and put it in a flower pot, and will it survive?
Well, it'll survive if you can dig it and plant it again as soon as possible. So I would not advise holding this in a container through the winter or anything like that. So if you can dig it up now and then within a short amount of time replant it at your new location, yes, with a hosta you can be successful. They'll still be a little bit harder, but the key is planting them in a short amount of time afterwards and not holding them indefinitely in a pot.
Okay, we have a question and hopefully an answer here at the Minnesota State Fair. And this lovely young lady is here. You look awfully familiar.
Maybe because I worked as your producer years and years and years and years ago.
And you really kept me in line too, didn't you? At least tried to.
Yes.
It was great to see Sue Fraze and Denny, her husband. Where's Denny? He's over there. Okay, he's hiding out. You have a question for our guys here.
Yes, I do. And I had talked to Sam earlier about Florida, and now I think it's both Minnesota and Florida, bougainvillea.
Oh, yes, bougainvillea.
I have an absolutely gorgeous one down there, and I've never had one up here, and I don't know quite how to treat it. It totally went out of control, I think, and
yes.
So I clipped it back, finding out that there's long thorns.
Oh, yeah. Yes, but bougainvillea is an annual for us. It doesn't live unless you have it in a container you bring indoors, but
yeah.
It's a spectacular plant.
It's
I've
beautiful.
Seen it at some of the garden centers in a tree form or in a pot. Yes, and you a hot sunny location in Minnesota, you can have flowers all summer.
So do I need to trim it back? I mean, like I said, it was out of control, and I thought, well, I'm going to try to shape it a little bit.
You can, because it kind of, it's a very tough plant. But you're talking about shaping it, the one in Florida that you have.
Well, just
right.
to get it
yes.
sort of, and
yes.
then it was laying mm-hmm. down on the ground on one side, and
yes.
so we got trellises, and we pushed it back up with much cussing and swearing, I might
yeah.
say.
You normally see it growing on a trellis, because it's a viney-like plant, so it needs
yes.
training, or it needs a trellis to
yes.
put it on. Right.
Okay, and any
good.
Special fertilizer, anything I should give it?
You can give it regular fertilizer. Liquid fertilizer is
okay.
fine, but basically full sun is what it likes.
No, and that's what it's got.
Yeah,
yes.
It tends to bloom very very well in full sun.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I suppose being in Florida quite often that we can't entice you to come back to work.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. He says no to this guy.
Unless it's a remote.
Thanks. It was great to see Sue Fraze and Denny here. Old friends. Nice to see him make that trek from up north. We have a lot of listeners and a lot of texters. Let me get this came in earlier today. We're going on an extended vacation in the middle of October. We'll be returning in November, 1 week after our yard waste service stops removal. I know that frost freeze dates lately are very late. What are the pros and cons of cutting all of our perennials to that magic 1.5-inch level before we leave? Does that make sense?
Yeah, so I think she's talking about the yard waste to actually get it removed, to get
mm-hmm.
it off the property. That's what she's thinking about
mm-hmm.
that. Well,
seems like
yeah. Well, we know the pollinators like the plants to be left intact. And we see a lot more pollinators that live in the stalks of perennials today because we are encouraging people not to cut them back. I would cut back peonies that have botrytis and powdery mildew on phlox. Otherwise, I don't think I'd cut many of those back.
Oh, okay.
I would leave them there for the pollinators. And beauty, because many perennials are nice in the winter.
I want to make mention that our friends at Buy the Yard, that CCO Land Company, sponsored the show, makes it happen every week. We thank them for that. And they're here at the Merchandise Mart at the fair, too, by the way.
And we're sitting in the
And
chair.
You're sitting at Buy the Yard furniture, right.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
And you can tell it's not real light stuff, is it? It's very substantial.
It's the real deal.
Let's go back to the phones. Who has been waiting? Let's go to Gene, who is calling from Egan with a question for you guys. Go ahead, Gene. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, good morning. I'm wondering about yard fabric. We had quite a large landscaping project done about, 12 years ago with a landscaping fabric, and it was wonderful at first, and then as soon as the weeds started poking up through it, it was difficult to pull them and get to the root of the weeds, and then also some of the plants the plants started running along the top of the fabric as soon as the fabric built up enough soil on the top of it. So I've been each summer now ripping that fabric out of there, and I want to know if it has damaged some of the plants. I did read online that it tends to damage some roots on some plants when that fabric is over it. And it's not the plastic stuff, it's the woven
fiber
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
so what you're describing is what we see a lot of times as our gardens age, and you get soil on top of that fiber mat, and yes, everything is going to grow up on top of it, then you've got the fiber in the middle, and it's not a good situation.
No.
So removing it is what we're doing in the grass collection and out at the Arboretum, because we did the same thing you did.
That's about your only option, it sounds like.
Right, at this time, that's your only option, right. So the trick is never getting soil on top of the mat.
Right.
And that's pretty difficult.
It's pretty difficult.
Right.
So I am doing the right thing by removing it.
You are.
Right.
You're doing the right thing by removing it because the roots will get better water and air exchange.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much.
Let's see if we can't pick up on a couple of text messages. Bought a house recently. Has a very nice crabapple tree. The branches hang really low. Hard to mow under it. When can I trim it?
You can. The best time to trim is when it's totally dormant, when the leaves are off. So I would wait till the winter. At this point, I would trim it when the leaves have fallen off.
Speaking of trimming, another text came in, how to trim hibiscus. How do you do that?
Hibiscus are really tough, and you can cut them back. Most hibiscus for us are going to be houseplants. You're going to have to bring those in the wintertime. So people tend to prune that when they bring it indoors because it's a big plant and it's a lot to keep indoors. Some people prune it before they put it out in the springtime. So pretty much any time of year you can prune the hibiscus because you're going to be bringing that indoors.
Here's one for Sam. I put grass seed down on my lawn. Does the dew in the early morning help in any way if I can't water often enough?
Yeah, I think, we have more humidity in the morning and less wind speed. And, yeah, so the dew certainly does help the seed. I usually say if you're planting new grass seed and you irrigation is the most important thing after you put the grass seed down. But you can really delay that first irrigation cycle till 9 or 10 a.m. because of the dew and more humidity in the morning. So you certainly don't need to water it right at 6 or 7 in the
sure.
morning.
Very good. Is it, before we break, is it too late in the season to plant shrubs and perennials?
I think you've got till about September 15th. So between now and September 15th, maybe 2 weeks, okay. But that's about it. And container plants are good because they have a good root system established already. So we like about a month for things to grow in the fall.
Sam, what's the window of opportunity for planting grass seed?
Grass seed, we usually say mid-August to mid-September. So you've got another couple weeks for that as well. Yeah, that's the calendar schedule. It all depends on the fall that we have. But if you miss the opportunity to get the seed down before mid-September, then usually I would say wait and do what we call a dormant seed.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be putting seed down in early to mid-November with the anticipation that it's going to germinate and grow next spring.
Not early enough to get frozen.
That's exactly right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's take a break. It's 65 degrees, and is that the sun I see out there?
It's sun lightening up, yes.
The forecast is right. How about that? We may see sunshine this afternoon. We're seeing some of that here at the fair right now. And maybe that'll raise that temperature. It's been 65 degrees for a few hours now. We'll be back live at the fair here on our Smart Garden Show on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show live from the Minnesota State Fair. Denny Long here out on the deck along with Mary Meyer and Sam Bauer from the University of Minnesota helping us out. And boy, as usual, this is not anything different because it's the fair. The phone lines are filled. The text line is filled as well. So let's see if
we'll
can.
We'll have to do a marathon, right?
We should. Maybe we should do another 3 hours. Well, no, Andy Linders didn't like that. Let's go back to the phones. Joel has been waiting the longest there, calling from Litchfield. Joel, what is your question for our guys here?
Well, good morning. We're almost to the fair here, and I'm just curious, can you over-irrigate your yard? I start out at the beginning of the year having a nice, thick, plush green yard. I mow it about 4 inches long, and by the time I get to the end, it's still thick and plush, but it's kind of got some brown spots in it, and I've always wondered if that's some over-irrigating.
Yeah, it's a great question. You most certainly can over-irrigate lawns, and you know, I try to encourage people to manage their lawn irrigation system in one of two ways. The one way is to have some technology that will either turn the system off if we get adequate rainfall. So that would be either a rain sensor or a soil moisture sensor or even a smart irrigation controller. But even you know better yet, I like to just run the irrigation system in completely manual mode, meaning it's normally off. You wait till your lawn gets a little bit dry, and then you turn it back on. And when you're on that program, what happens is your lawn will develop a much deeper root system, because if you water every other day, there's constantly moisture there at the surface, and the roots really don't need to grow very far. So you're not very, you know, your lawn isn't very drought conditioned or able to survive any time of drought.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, Joel, have fun at the fair today. Don is calling from Bloomington with a question. Go ahead, Don, we're listening. Thank you.
All right, my question is, I've got some trees that I need to be trimmed, but some of them have already lost their leaves. How do they know which branches to really take?
Well, there's some guidelines for pruning trees. You don't want branches that rub against each other. You don't want ones that have a poor angle that are more likely to break off. Anything that's dead, you take off. For fruit trees, we have a whole set of guidelines for pruning. So we do have those recommendations up on the Extension website. And you want most branches to get good light and have good access to light. So there are some guidelines for pruning. But the time of year for most trees is when they're dormant. In the wintertime, that's when the major tree companies go through and do major pruning in parks and our cities and so on. So when the tree is dormant, you can see the branch structure more easily. So I'd encourage you to
tell if it's dead or not. You know, whether they're taking a live branch versus a dead.
It's usually based on the amount of foliage or the leaves that are on that branch. So, right, so it's a matter, and people that are the specialists, the arborists, can tell the dead and live branches. When you cut the branch that's dead, it's brown on the inside, it snaps, it doesn't have the resiliency or the flexibility that a live branch has. And then if you look on the inside, you can see the cambium or the green layer that's in there. So it's a trained person can tell a dead and live branch in the wintertime as well as in the summertime.
Great.
Thank you, Don. Appreciate that. So if folks want to see more, we always tell folks to get on the website. The UMN, what is that website?
extension.umn.edu, and then click on garden, and then you can go to landscaping, you can go to trees, you can search by tree name or lawns. A lot
and
of information
actually, if they
there.
Make it to the fair in the horticulture
that's
building.
What I wanted to ask
yeah,
you.
So we
oh,
have,
yeah.
our college has some staff there. We have the Master Gardener group that's
oh,
there.
Yeah.
But in the south end of the horticulture building, the College of Food, Agricultural, Natural Resource Science has some staff there that answer questions all day long. And that's where our irrigation display is as well.
Got to see that.
Yeah. Check it out.
We have about 2 or 3 minutes to go here. I tell you what, let's get a quick question, then maybe some text. Teresa is calling in from Champlin with a question. Go ahead, Teresa. Thanks.
Good morning.
Morning.
See, when I walk through my yard here in the last week or so, I get like a rust-colored dust on my shoes, and
yes.
I'm wondering what's causing that and how do I get rid of it.
It is rust.
Yeah, very common fungus that we see in lawns, especially this time of year. Generally, we consider it a low fertility disease, so my recommendation is to get a good nitrogen fertilizer down, and you'll see your lawn grow out of it fairly well. It's rarely devastating in my experience. It's just going to impact the leaf tissue. You won't lose any quality of your lawn because of it. But
that is what you describe is how we determine if you have rust. If you have light-colored sneakers or shoes, walk through the grass and they will turn orange.
Yep, and a good fertilizer application will usually help get your lawn on the right track there.
Very good. Uh-huh. We've had that question before about rust a few times. Texture says, can I plant tulip bulbs under pine trees, a kind that shed a lot of needles?
Yes, actually, you can. Tulips and daffodils, I would say daffodils might even do better than tulips in that location. So that's dry shade, and those bulbs like shade. They like dry in the summer, wet in the winter, dry in the summer. So that's a location to for spring flowering bulbs. Daffodils especially, and tulips for a year or so, they usually won't do as well as daffodils.
Here's a text that said, had a tree stump chipped. Can we use those chips as we would use mulch?
Yes, you can. Right. They will. The bigger the chip, the slower it will decompose. But yes, you can do that. I've done that myself. Yeah.
And we addressed this a couple of different times, but a texter sent this. How late can you still plant grass seed?
We usually say mid-September, but and you know, again, the reality of it is if you get into October or so, your only risk is the expense of seed and your time involved with it. So, but my concern is if you get some good germination in October and the plants are really young before going into winter, chances are they won't survive.
We have about 60 seconds to go. What causes geranium leaves to yellow and dry up?
The older ones normally will do that, but sometimes it's fluctuation in water levels, so you want to be consistent with your geraniums, especially in containers, that you always give them good water. But the older ones tend to do that, so it's not a fatal.
Let's see if we can't sneak in one more. I have a weed in my lawn that looks like a wild violet. What is it? How do I get rid of it?
Well, it most certainly could be wild violet. Wild violet does survive mowing. We find it in a lot of areas where you also would find creeping Charlie, which surprisingly we haven't talked about today here at all. But very similar control strategies for creeping Charlie. You know, that would be trying to prune some of the trees to get a little bit more sunlight, maybe reduce the surface moisture, and then we can certainly talk about some herbicides to get the grass restored
the
there.
The violets are a tough weed.
They are a tough
they
one.
Tend to have a big root system. They tend to have a seed that comes as well. So they're a tough weed.
Yeah. We'll be back in studio next week, 1 week from today, after a great fair. Good to see you guys again, Mary and Sam.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Thanks for coming in.